All right, guys. Well, this is episode 3, and I like to think this is kind of was the topic or the conversation that spearheaded maybe even this course altogether on social media. We have a very good mutual friend, Matt Dawson, also known as Stay Gray Pony Boy. Hopefully, you're following him as well on Instagram. But Matt wrote a fantastic article, and I shared it with Jordan. And one of the first things we were talking about was this could only be something that we can really talk to him in person with, and brought him on board. And this conversation, Matt even wrote to us and said it was probably one of the most candid conversations he's ever had, not only in just our industry, but specifically in social media. And this anxiety and this thing that we all face, and maybe there's a different way we should be looking at how we use it, how we enjoy it, and how we take it for our business, because that's why we're all here. So yeah. What do you think, man? This was one of my favorites that we've done so far.
Yeah, I mean, I love Matt. Matt's such a good guy, and he's such a great designer. And that article, I think, shed a lot of good perspective that a lot of us creatives face, you know, these battles that we're always facing as designers with these platforms and how to use them. And, you know, we get pretty candid, which is really fun. And so, yeah, this might be one of my favorite on this course, and I hope everyone else enjoys it. And again, if you aren't following Matt, shame, you should be.
You should be.
And that's again. but yeah, and we'd love to hear you guys' feedback and perspectives on this as well. And you can reach out to both Nick and I and through our Instagrams, or at Creative Course P is our handle on Instagram as well. And yeah, we'd love to join in the conversation.
And feel free to even reach out to Matt, because I think Matt putting himself out there with this article, we have a link to it in the notes here as well.
Read it.
If it hits home with you, let him know, man, because I think, one, it kind of started the whole transparency of even how Matt, myself, Jordan, talk to each other, share our ideas when it comes to how we run our businesses. So let Matt know as well. And yeah, we really hope you enjoy this one.
Yeah, we've learned not to do that.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So we are back, and we are talking social media again into this course, and we have a special guest with us, and there's a reason he's on board with us, because he wrote a fantastic article that kind of sparked the whole idea here. So we want to welcome Matt Dawson. Matt.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard. Thanks. Thank you for having me. I'm stoked to hang out with you guys this Friday afternoon.
Yeah, and we should say that, like, we're all here because of social media. We all know each other via social media, which is so cool. And there's such great things about it. And, you know, I think what's cool too was about a month or two ago, I can't remember when you put this article out, Matt, but this really sparked the whole idea to have this conversation about where are we with social media, and what could we do to kind of maybe either look at it differently and participate differently, which is great. But before we do that, just, you know, for our listeners and our friends that are taking a listen to this, give them a little idea of, you know, who you are, what you're doing. Tell us about Crop a little bit. Go for it.
So I'm Matt Dawson. I'm a designer, mostly focused in branding and identity, dabbling a little bit of illustration, typography. I also run a conference called Crop, like Nick mentioned. We do a big spring event, and then we do a smaller footprint event in the fall usually. And between that and family life and trying to have a life, that's keeps me busy. And,
yeah, man. It's quite a work-life balance when you think about it, you know? It's like,
yeah.
And then add the added kind of responsibility of being your own social media networking person, right?
Like, yeah, that's right.
Right.
Not just for you and for your business, and then for your Crop. And like, so like, it's like, I think you're the perfect person not only to bring on here just because of your expertise. And Jordan and I are really happy with you, like, talking about this stuff, but the stories I think you can bring here are really going to spark a great conversation that I hope our listeners will really dig.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, frankly, you were pretty much both of our first choice when we were talking about doing this course. And I think particularly because you're killing it inside and outside of your field of just like design. And because I think you have a unique perspective on sort of nurturing the social media game into your businesses in like a very healthy way. So yeah, man, I think we should dive in. Let's talk about Let's talk about our social media and how you utilize it.
Cool, man. And so like the beginning of our conversation really happened with this article you posted. I think it was a Medium post, right? And we'll link to it because I think it's worth a great read.
Absolutely.
Anybody, regardless of just being a creative on social media, it's just anyone that's getting kind of wrapped up in this animal of social media. What kind of sparked you into the beginning stages here to even like think of doing this article? What was, where did it start for you?
To write the article in the beginning kind of stemmed from me wanting to honestly get away from creating with pixels and you know, kind of like express myself in like a different medium.
No pun intended.
no pun intended. And I felt like everything worked out time wise because I felt like at the time I was getting like really bombarded with Medium stuff. And I was like, what the hell is Medium? So, you know, like I checked it out and saw that it's kind of like this no pressure outlet to reach and connect with people. And it's kind of, you know, like come as you are, say what you have to say platform. And I was like, you know, like I'll try it. So like I had a handful of topics that I had teased, you know, with writing. And the one that just kept coming back to me, because it was another thing I was being bombarded with at the time, was just like kind of like how social media is shifting and affecting us as designers in more ways than one, in more ways than just the, you know, inspirational kind of quote unquote how it should be way. And I kind of wanted to touch on that. And just spent a few nights laying there with my phone above my face typing.
You wrote it on your phone. Oh, my God.
I wrote the entire thing on my phone. And
what? That's madness. It's a really well-written article for one, and it's very long. I can't. Well done, sir.
I know.
I'm so bad at utilizing my phone and sort of anything over a text. I can't do it.
And I think even social media has trained us to be short and sweet. I have the intention of wanting to write great articles, and I hated when I saw that because I was like, damn you, Matt. That's like, not only was it great, but like you took the time to do it, but you nailed it by saying you wanted to, like, you almost just wanted to play with another part of your brain there for a second. And like, you're right, to get away from what we do nonstop morning, noon, and night.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, like I found that writing about this, you know, trend that I'd been seeing, kind of it helped me formulate my thoughts better, but it was also therapeutic in a way to get some of that stuff out because social media is very, very addicting, right? Especially nowadays. And I just felt like at the time I was noticing like this huge shift towards, you know, like we were no longer using it for predominantly inspiration, but like it was just like to get noticed and to be featured and to be liked. And I was having conversations with people that were struggling with that, like struggling, like wanting to become a thing on Instagram, and like they were like literally torn about it, you know, and like upset about it. And you know, I've been there too, you know, like there's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked, but you know, a lot of the conversations I was having and things I was noticing was that, you know, you're just constantly comparing because it's just sensory overload with Instagram and Dribbble and Behance. And, you know, you're just fed all of this stuff, and it kind of like messes with your mind a bit and kind of like shifts your perspective from like where it should be to, you know, kind of brings you to a dark place to where like, man, like, am I as good as this person? Like this person, they got all these likes and they've got 38,000 followers and, they're speaking here and they're, you know, like, it's funny how like I've been there and like, I felt like it kind of needed to be said that, like, you know, that whole, too long didn't read thing, like that shit, like stuff like that doesn't define you.
You can cuss on this podcast, by the way. You don't have
okay.
no, I think that's honestly, I resonated with that so well. One, because I think, I find it interesting and a little worrisome. Like, we're all through social media, everyone's looking at like their best self. Like couples are, you know, everything's put through the best light. And so like the couples are always like madly in love. No one fights. Like the food is more colorful. Oh, yeah. The designers are in the design.
I'm always
like,
away.
Flawless.
I'm, yeah.
And so, like, just absorbing in this constant state of, like, this unrealistic perfection, you know, can set unmanageable expectations. And so it sort of strips away what it actually means to be, like, human and authentic. And I'm just, I am curious, like, being exposed for as long as we are in it, I wonder what that's actually doing to us, not only as designers, but just, like, as people, as creatives, you know?
Yeah, it's breeding it's breeding like this false veil of what success is or what it means to be a good designer or a successful designer. Yeah. You know, like, oh man, like how do like this guy's doing all these cool beer things or coffee packaging, you know, but like that guy's probably not showing you the, you know, the insurance ad. You know that he knocked out in 30 minutes and
that's really paid his cell phone bill, paying the bills, you know,
right?
Yeah,
that's a really good point. It does create this like weird sense of like, man, that guy's only doing awesome stuff, where it's like most of us are probably not showing a lot of the paying bills work, right? Like
it ain't sexy, you know.
Yeah, when it really, it's just like it makes us focus on like things that feed our vanity and distracts sort of what the things that are important, and it kind of redefines what it means to be a successful designer.
Exactly,
you're seeing these things that are like, it's not really reality. Yeah. What you're seeing, a very staged, strategic, methodical feed, mm-hmm. which I'm a part of. Like, I'll put up, you know, if 100%. I take a picture of a sketch I did, well, like maybe I'll put like a little pencil in there, like set a scene, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you just caught this? Oh, this is, yeah, I woke up like this sort of thing. So like,
yeah, with my leather portfolio right there next to it, with the little sketch pad. But you know, you killed it with that, what you just said there too, because it's like, yeah, I think the hardest part after reading it, Matt, was that I kind of not only totally agreed with it, but then it made me kind of think, I can't believe I'm thinking that same way, the anxiety of it in a way, and you're like, why am I letting that part of it ruin it? What could be and what is a really great tool and vehicle and communicator, and gets us, we have a community better than ever. I mean, we all just, you know, like we've seen it at conferences and we see it as just friends together. Like that, there's such great shit to it. And I think if anything, it was just an eye opening for me to go like, damn, man, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That's crazy. Crazy. All right. Personal history back into your world in like Instagram and social media. Like talk a little bit about what you've done.
Kind of like I mentioned earlier in the week, I quit all social media back in, I don't remember when it was, maybe 2008. So like, man, like 10 almost 11 years ago. And I feel like it was because of Facebook at the time. And Facebook hadn't quite figured out what it was. Like it had shifted from being a college only sort of thing to a public thing, and the public didn't really know how to use it. And then you get Farmville requests and just like bombarded with like dumb shit. And I was like, that was like the main one, and I was like, I can't stand this. Like, I can't let any more of my life get sucked into this. And I just quit. Like, my wife and I both quit, actually. And like, we didn't have like anything for a few years, and like, it was kind of great. And
yeah, man,
you know, like I think it was from maybe 2008, 2009 to like 2013. It was like about a year or so of people trying to get me to join Instagram. And I was really kind of dumb to what it was. I downloaded it and deleted the app a couple times.
Same here.
Cause like, I didn't understand it. Like,
I didn't know what it was.
In Instagram,
but everyone had it.
Yeah. Instagram and me then was like me and Snapchat now.
And like, dude, I'm the same way.
I like, nothing will make me feel older and
I know.
More obsolete than opening Snapchat.
Yeah, man, I feel like just like telling everyone to get off my lawn because I'm confused by what we're doing. You know, grumpy old man.
Oh man, exactly, dude. So you know, like I kind of reluctantly got on it, and I liked that it was mostly visual. I was a little late to the dribble game. Long-time lurker, first-time poster. Old saying. So like I'd mess around on dribble a lot, but like I never really got into it on like the ground floor. So like that always felt like an insurmountable kind of mountain to climb as far as like getting in there into dribble. So Instagram was great because it was mostly visual, a little bit of, you know, captioning and a little bit of, you know, community back and forth. And I was like, okay, maybe this isn't so bad. But at the time, you know, I was still designing at a day job, which was for that type of design work that just pays the bills. You don't want to share it. It's not glamorous. So I didn't really have a lot to share. And I was like, okay, well, like, maybe I need to just make things up for myself, you know, like, so I started this, Type Combo Tuesday hashtag thing. And, that was strictly so I could, like, if I posted nothing else, I would at least have, you know, 4 posts a month that were Type Combo Tuesday things. And it was a unique hashtag. And I was like, maybe I can weasel my way and, you know, get my foot into the door with this. So, that was really how I started. And I would post like a little project here and there. Like if you go way back in my feed, it's really embarrassing. I was doing the Wii, the Royal Wii, captioning and,
figuring it all out, man. But I mean, the fact that you started Type Combo Tuesday, which for anyone who doesn't know or follow, I mean, honestly, that's one of my favorite things to find on my feed on Instagram. And you've been doing it for so long. And it's tremendously helpful. Like, I mean, there really isn't a resource for something like that. That, you know, pairing these two fonts and ultimately, like, it should be a book.
Why do they work?
I want it to be a book really bad. But
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so, like, that kind of gave me something consistent to post. And, you know, lo and behold, people kind of liked it. And, you know, like, started following me and liking things and commenting and it turned into a thing. I did it for like 3 years straight every Tuesday, which was like exhausting. Now I do it about once a month. That airfare one is coming, Jordan, I promise. I do them all in advance, really. Like I'll sit down one day and like just do like 20 of them, so like I just have them like for the month to post.
Can I ask, because just for my own curiosity, I mean, like, I you know, you're appreciator type, but do you have a process that really helps, other than your experience, kind of, you know, pair matching certain fonts? I mean, do you have things just like, oh, I know immediately that this is going to go well with the script based on blah, blah, blah. I mean, you do it so well. And I've seen other people like kind of touch on it a little bit and maybe try to like replicate, but you just do it well enough where like I've even adopted a ton of stuff from those because they work perfectly.
That's so
either
awesome.
You have like just an insane, you know, repertoire in your head of all the fonts out there, or just like, you know, is it simply that you're just familiar enough with type and you sort of know sort of the rules and laws of why things go well with others? I get like as designers, we kind of all touch on that, but you're really good.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself a savant or anything. Like I'm just a huge nerd for it. Like I had a great typography teacher in school, and he really kind of just tuned me in and turned me on to, you know, typography, and I was hooked on it after that. So it's all practice. None of it's guru-esque, you know.
It's dope, dude. Yeah
divine, right, divine anything. So,
well, I'm curious, when did you start to figure out then that you're this Instagram, you know, you're on it and you're starting to get some followers? At what point did you start to realize like maybe it can help grow a business that I'm pushing for, like, you know, and maybe when you started, like what areas did you start to focus on, you know, to really take that action into utilizing it as a tool?
After I got on it, I got that taste of it and found that, you know, like, wow, this, you know, even back then it was addicting. But you know, like it was once I started posting actual work, you know, that was around the time that I really kind of started taking design seriously and knowing that like I wanted to design like for myself and knowing that was going to be a trail on its own to traverse. But you know, like I started posting little projects here and there, and you know, like then all of a sudden you'd get, you'd, hey, like, can you, I've got this business opening up. Can you do this for me? I don't know if DMs were a thing back then. I don't know how long DMs have been around.
You just didn't slide into them.
Right. And I was like, man, like, this is kind of cool. Like, this person from, you know, like, North Carolina wants me to do something for their blank. And it seemed like it wasn't anything that I'd gone into thinking was going to be a thing. And I was like, oh, sure. This is kind of cool. And that was, you know, like 5 years ago. And now it's just, you know, it's kind of like my main source of like new jobs.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that super interesting. I'm kind of on the other spectrum because while I do get a decent amount of like job offers, at least in my case, like I haven't found a ton of them that are, you know, awesome. They're like, you know, will you design a logo for $200 for like whatever?
Like they don't hit your level of qualification.
Sure.
Know? And maybe, yeah. But I mean, and that's not to say, I mean, some certainly have. I guess, you know, I've just found that like a lot of mine are usually, you know, just people with a blog that want a logo or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And so maybe there's a trick or tool that you're utilizing that can really drive better clients, obviously other than like your dope ass work.
Well, you know, I mean, like you've got dope ass work too. And I think you probably get a lot of the same requests that I do. That, you know, like Instagram has like a billion users. So, you know, like you're going to get some people that, you know, don't understand the value of design work. Like it never fails. Like if I post an album cover that I've done, I'll get two or three DMs. Hey, will you do our album cover? We've got a budget of $60 or $300. And I'm just, like that stuff is rampant. And yeah, like the logo for a blog, like that kind of stuff happens too. But I've kind of like learned, like you learn who to decline and who to accept.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I mean, maybe I've missed out and kind of read things wrong, but you know, like I've had some good success stories from that. And you know, like that's kind of like neck and neck between people finding me on Instagram, be like, oh, I've seen your work on Instagram. And
that's
like,
fair. Yeah.
Between that and just word of mouth from like long-term clients, that's kind of like predominantly how I've been getting, you know, new business.
It's a good balance too, when you think about it from both sides.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. And then at this point, so like this, where were the first signs that you were kind of seeing either, you know, the concerns of kind of like how things were doing? Like, was it, did it get to a point where it was almost like, whoa, this is kind of really working? Or, you know, was it a matter of kind of just being as creative as you can and put things out there?
You know, like I think it's only natural to like, even if you have like 5 followers, I think it's probably just like human nature to be bummed when your post doesn't get more than 2 likes out of your 5 followers. So like in the beginning, you know, like I focused a lot on that stuff, and then, you know, like I would kind of have to snap out of it and be like, dude, you've got like X amount of followers. They're like, why are you expecting thousands of likes on this? Or
that's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
know? Yeah. I built it. Where are they?
Right. Yeah. you know, so I think it's like whenever like my numbers got to a certain point, like I think I assigned an arbitrary number to it the other, like maybe like after 1,000 followers, you start to think, well, this should be performing like this. You know, like you've done X amount of posts, like you kind of know like what time things do well, what days work better. You know, so like you kind of start to get your own algorithm for like what's working well. And I feel like maybe it was around the 1,000 follower mark that I was like, okay, well, this should be doing well. If I post this tonight on a Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern, it's going to do something. And like, it was kind of a bummer whenever it didn't work out. And I still get some flops, man. And it sucks a little bit, but I've learned how to deal with it better.
I love the Instagram flops
because it doesn't fucking matter. Like it's,
But no, especially if it's like something that you worked, it's always the design that you worked 10 times as hard and put your fucking blood, sweat, and tears into that flops. And then it's the one that you just did that night because you wanted to put something out that
kills it. But isn't it crazy to think how it was set up for us to be this way to begin with? I mean, everything about the user interface and the
it's engineered to tap into that shit, man.
Sure. Totally. And then here you are searching for what's the best way to post? What's the best hashtags and everything? And it's I feel like you're caught in the web of it. But again, sometimes you feel stupid that you fell into it.
Sure. Yeah, totally.
It's the craziest feeling.
Yeah. And that's also not to say, like, look, and we kind of touched on this a little bit last episode with Nick and I, but like, I do think there are opportunities with having a decent chunk of followers, right? And like, totally. Maybe it's not exactly like what certain people are expecting, but I do think like it's a tool and you can certainly utilize it like a tool. I just think if you get to it the leverages. Point where like it affects your happiness and your life, like, well, then it's gone too far. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, like once it gets to a point where you focus more on those metrics and the success of this small part of your business over the work that you're cranking out, like that's whenever it becomes problematic. And whenever you feel like those metrics begin to define like your worth as a designer, like I've gone through that. Like a few years ago, I was like, man, like, am I even doing the right thing? You know, like I was still working a day job. I wasn't getting the kind of jobs that I was wanting to do. I wasn't, murdering it, killing it or crushing it on the daily. And
you have a bit on your article that made me laugh so goddamn hard about, I think it was you were talking about like all our descriptions for like doing well or very violent.
They really are. Yeah, it's yeah.
How did that happen? So true. Anyway, sorry,
it's
carry
quite
on.
Brutal.
But yeah, you know, like it's like the problem starts whenever you focus too much on that and you don't focus on the work that it takes.
Yeah.
To get you to that place where like you see others and they're up on this mountain and you're you don't realize they climbed that mountain. You're just looking for a ladder to the top, or some other quicker way other than a ladder. 'Cause that would probably be tough too. But it's the shortcut and the fast track to, getting somewhere that doesn't ultimately matter. Really, what still matters is your work. Yes. I've seen people, and you can kind of tell when people buy followers or dumb shit like that.
They have like a million followers, but like only 10 likes,
3 engagements,
and then their work. You know, you're just like, man, like this guy or gal has 82,000 followers. Imagine if they would have gained a quarter of that organically, from good work. Yeah. I feel really good about where I am on a social media level. I've been on it for 5 years and I'm nowhere near where other people that have been on it in even a shorter time have been. But I feel really good because that's all organic and that's all from just kind of like,
they're actual fans. I mean, they're engagements. I mean, that's why you're getting good work probably, because like, you've built that authenticity and that genuine fan base that, you didn't have to sort of like, and this is kind of maybe another subject to touch on, but you talk about like, getting up the mountain quickly or like how to get those instantaneous results. And I feel like social media is, and trend design is a big aspect of how people are kind of doing that really quickly maybe, you end up with those sort of shallow designs that you see everywhere. Like, I think it's another distraction, I guess, is what I mean. Like,
sure.
It creates sort of this like just a hit that dies in, a couple months. Because I watch my entire feed fill up with the same style and then die because the swarm has feasted on to this bone and nothing left. Like, you know what I mean? We've all just like, oh, bah, 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 and then it's just like, oh, I've seen that 1,000 times in my feed and I can't do it anymore.
Totally.
And then, but successful as well on even these copycats where it makes you kind of, so it just makes you question the whole thing again too. But you're right.
What it's doing as creatives, like, is that, I don't know if it's good or bad. I would project that's probably not great for design, but maybe I'm, you know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong.
It,
but
it also, it disc, it's disc, people aren't encouraged to go beyond the line and do something out of the box where, and those, that's yeah. sounding more cliche than ever, but it's so sad that, that we have to say that again now, because I see young designers, specifically students, not stretching the boundaries when they should be at that. That's the time you should be doing it the most, right? Because
yeah.
the gamble isn't there. It's not like your, like
right.
your livelihood or your living depends on it. Stretch and try something totally different and unique and be a trendsetter and a trend yeah. starter.
And also exactly. just not focus, yeah, and not putting everything into the style. Like, ultimately, I think it probably actually is hurting because it's stripping away, like, the fundamentals of what makes a good brand good in substitution yeah. for, like, eye candy, yeah. right? Because,
yeah.
you know, a good brand is built upon, like, the pillars of the brand and the company and the story, and you're not really telling a story if you're just like, ah, oh, this looks good. Well, why?
It's what, like plug-and-play design, yeah.
Yeah, it,
exactly. Yeah. And that's probably like a whole other episode. But,
yeah, man.
But you know, like that is one of those, that is one of those fast tracks to some fleeting notoriety. But at the end of the day, you know, like what I'm getting, like, that's okay. If that's what you want to get, that's fine. But
yeah.
your work isn't going to be any better by doing that, you know, and like that's exactly. that's the yeah. core of it. Like your work,
yeah,
you know, like if you want to be known as a designer, if you want, like, if you want those accolades and like that feeling of accomplishment, like get it through good original work, you know, yeah. get it through.
I feel like it's going to come from the story of the brand.
Get it the old fashioned way.
Yeah,
you know, anybody can go download this type and icon set that looks like stuff that are from Made by Land in Austin, Texas. mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, you can make this badge too that looks like it was done in this style, uh-huh. but you made it in 15 minutes because it was a fast track solution. You know, like you
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah.
Which someone yeah. else might have. I mean, if you're buying that kind of material, it's like, well, anyone can use that. So
chances are.
If you're going to create a yeah, brand right. for someone, like, holy shit.
Yeah. So, like, those are pitfalls that I didn't even touch on and that I'm touching on with you guys because, you know, like, I've been writing a follow-up to it that's actually, it's a little more kick in the teeth, a little less rah-rah. You can, like, you're worth more than that. Like the follow-up's a little more. All right, listen up. You didn't listen last time.
Instead of knocking, you just fucking kick the door open.
Right.
I think you just summed it up with just that. Listen up, kids.
I mean, you know, but on the other hand, like, maybe because there's so many hollow designs as people like us who are freelancers who are looking for good clients and putting out good work, like, maybe there's opportunity within that, like, because ultimately those brands will suffer. Like, if you're a company and you're paying a cheap, you know, fast track brand, like, it's not gonna give you the results that you probably want. And so maybe there's opportunity of us where it's like, well, I can, you know, with experience and understanding of what makes a brand and a lot of what I do now with clients, because I do think the trends has bled out beyond design world and into, like, clients. Like, they're like, oh, I saw this, or I have a Pinterest board of what I'm looking for. I'm like, great, that's all stuff that's trending. Yeah. So, like, I'm constantly have to be like, okay, well, let's not even worry about what it's going to look like until we talk about you and your company and why and what you know, yeah. where's your credibility? Like, and ultimately, like, the ones that stick with that end up being a lot better clients. And the ones that don't, that are like, well, I need it next week and I don't care. Well, it's like, ah, you know, if no, you're going to give me a ton of money, like, I'll do it and forget about it. But ultimately, I don't want to work with that kind of client. So,
yeah.
So sure. Social media, it is interesting. It's pushing this dynamic and, I, you know, even whether or not it's good or bad, I guess time will tell.
I think that's a great point. It's going in the clients and even the non-designer community, just the common consumer.
And it's ultimately, like, a little delayed, right? Like, the trends that my clients are kind of bringing, I'm like, oh, that was, like, maybe 6 months ago that I remember that. So it's, like, a sort of echo to where we are. We're always a little ahead of that, I think.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of worse. We're like, no, not only is it, like, not a hot trend, it's, like, a trend that's kind of been dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to redesign I'm not going to do Chubani for you. Like, it's, like,
I'm not going to use Brothers Type ever again. I can't do it.
That is the one of the moment right now. And it's, like, you're sitting there going, gosh, now you've seen it a lot on social media. You've seen how successful it is for them. And your job as the designer is to educate them, say, wouldn't you want to be the next version of that? Like, and be the trendsetter and be the one that stakes its foot in the ground and says, this is who I am. So like, I'm finding, and I'm curious with you guys, are you finding, even with, I know we all have great processes that we work through our clients to make sure, like you said, pillars are established, you're good to go before you do a single design. You're doing that, and then they're still changing their mind because of the influence they're seeing on the market and out there. They can't decide who they want to be, and they keep looking at other brands. It's almost unbelievable how much that's happening to me.
It's definitely
you guys.
It's definitely a double-edged sword, you know. And like one good thing about, you know, it's funny. Like in our talk earlier this week, I was talking about how like Instagram is the department store. And Dribbble is like the specialty store, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's excellent. Like, yeah, that's great.
Anybody can walk into Instagram and find something that they're looking for. And what's great about that is that it's kind of opened people's eyes up a little bit to being more focused on design. At least now they can come and tell me.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
At least now they can come and tell me, I want something that looks like Young Jerks, but I don't have a Young Jerks budget. So I'm gonna ask you for something like that, which I'm
Baby Jerks.
Yeah. But like I think that's the good thing about Instagram is that, you know, like it kind of has it. I feel like consumers and clients are a little more design aware now than they used to be.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. I think they are a bit more educated, at least like maybe hold maybe not a higher value, but like a want for it, which is a demand is good for us. Like I want people to want good design.
Yeah,
dude, you walk through Whole Foods, walk through Target, they're going to get 1,000 examples of great shit.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And you're right. Their savvy level has gone extremely high. It has. They're calling out fonts, they're calling out colors, you know, and so good and bad. Yeah, for sure. I know there's been, like when Jordan and I talk about this too a lot with clients, it's like there's those ones that you know from second one that are going to be, they're going to acknowledge that and they're going to love that and they're going to appreciate that in you. And then there's the others that opposite end of the spectrum only want one thing and it might not be right for their brand or their consumer.
Yeah,
because
totally.
Of the influence they're getting. So, but I think there's a lot more positive in that because I love that people now also friends, family members now appreciate what we do more than ever because now they go, oh, I know what you do now because I can walk an aisle and see great work everywhere they go.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. I love that part for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's likely more attributable maybe to like Pinterest than it is Instagram, but the fact that they're getting a little more savvy, you know, it's definitely making it easier. You do have those anomalies where they're still just like a pain in the ass to work with, and they've you know, they want to hold the puppet the puppeteer strings. But you know, it is kind of nice now that you don't have to explain so much like you used to maybe 5 years ago. Even
it's a step. Yeah. It's a step in the room that we're in, and I think you're right. Where it's like a lot of my clients or outreach that comes in, it's like, you know, I kind of want a style like this. Or I like this design, which is great. And then instead of really trying to like tell a client nowadays why you should have good design, it's why you should have like effective design.
Totally.
So it's not, you know, it's more than just the style, which, you know, that's just a step probably in the right direction to making our jobs a little easier, or at least different.
Yeah.
We're not like you. Yeah. So you don't have to sell the design itself is really selling like, again, that effective design.
It really is. Like my biggest hurdle whenever we're dealing with clients, and like I say we because I work with two other partners, but I'm not doing the royal we. But it's still like I think the biggest hurdle is convincing, and this is a little off topic, but like convincing the client that like the design is for their clients and not for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that. That's great.
Personal
that you know what you're
out.
Yeah, that's great that you know what your vibe is going to be or what you want it to be, but we've ultimately got to We've got to get people in your door. We've got to get people on your site, in your shop.
Yes.
So you know, like it's like I like that they can kind of like provide a little bit of parameters, but at the same time, it's like, all right, now let us do our thing. You know,
because we
know who you need to attract, and you know, like what's going to attract them. Yeah. And that's still, man, like 12 years in, it's still just.
Oh, that Yeah, I would be surprised if that ever left.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's...
You're right.
So, to touch back maybe a little bit on, and I think we're probably going to put a lot of the social media through the scope of Instagram, because I think that's a lot of creatives. That's
sure.
probably the medium of
yeah.
choice.
I think so, yeah. Visual.
Yeah. So I am curious sort of your strategic post regimen, sort of like how to utilize the feed versus the stories, just within Instagram as a whole to sort of attract these clients that you're getting. Are there specific things that you've sort of noticed? You know, sometimes I know people like my feed yeah. is only for very polished stuff, whereas the stories can be for sort of like behind the curtain. I'm just curious how you sort of utilize Instagram now, being more aware of where you are and also landing good clients.
I feel like every week I hear like this seesaw of like, well, stories are now more popular than posts on Instagram, and mm-hmm. posts are more popular than stories, and next week they have to coincide and really gel together. I'm really not great at that. I use later to schedule yeah. posts. I do that a lot for crop, because like I manage crop for the most part until like actual conference season, and I have somebody else that manages it. But for the most part, like I'll use later to kind of schedule out posts, and yep. then whenever like my phone starts lighting up and I get a few notifications, I'm like, oh shit, better do a story for it too. So
notification to do that.
it's not very well done, and like maybe there's something where you can schedule stories as well, but right now I'm kind of doing it on the fly, and it's you know, I don't think it's the most efficient method in the world, but sure. I am very calculated with how I post things. I'm very anal when it comes to how my feed looks, and like that yes. sounds so bad when I say it out loud, but I'm gonna be honest.
It's true.
Yeah, we should. And honestly, like, we are all doing it. I think if anyone says they're not, like, I think it's probably bullshit. Like, yeah. you're all definitely playing this game, because it's a tool for
or
business.
They're purposely going haphazardly, you know what I mean? I think true. It's both ways. Yeah, well, like, I think a lot of people want it to look very casual and like I don't yeah. care, but yet it is.
Yeah.
So, but I'll admit it too.
It's cool to not care.
We all care.
Yeah, no,
yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
there's our new hashtag.
It's cool. It's cool to not care. Yeah. I like it. But you know, I'm not doing anything so much for business now, as you know, like I've got this new collective that I'm a part of, and our business is built into a different way. And now, honestly, it feels a little more freeing, because I'm just posting to post, and yes. not so much with an agenda anymore. You know, like my buddy Scotty Russell, he has a talk that I've seen him do a couple of times, and he's done it crop, and it's about posting the kind of work that you want to get to get that kind of work. And I was doing that for a while, assigning myself projects, and like now, luckily, I'm not having to do that. So I'm legitimately getting to post real work, and that feels yes. nice. I've slacked off on posting recently, because I've been able to breathe a little bit and not put so much effort into it, because
you're busy. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
I'm fucking working.
Is. Yeah, so like that actually has felt nice to kind of like. Not plateau in a bad sense, but like coast for a minute, you know,
and
so
not care, huh? right? Not have that anxious. Like, I'm sort of getting.
Oh my god, it's a great
too.
Feeling.
It's like yeah. I've had so many projects, but I can't share any of them, because a lot of them are like ground up. You know, they're budgeted up for a couple months. So, like, I can't share, but I'm really busy. But I don't want to. Like, I don't have time to just make stuff to post anymore.
Yeah.
And so I haven't posted yeah. shit. Like, I've been like, maybe I'll doodle and I'll post a doodle, and ultimately, like. Yeah, I do think it probably, I've lost followers or people have lost interest a little bit in some stuff, but like, it feels so much better not caring. You know what I mean? Because like, at least I'm working. I did it to get work.
Yeah.
Now that I have work, it is freeing. I think you said it best. Mm-hmm.
And don't you guys feel stories kind of was added in a way to be that that buffer stuff in between more yes. serious and good and quality posts, where like,
yeah,
I love stories.
Me too.
Yeah, same here.
Because there's no pressure, you know, like it's so annoying. Like, okay, I can't just take a screenshot. Like, I have to go into like my work and like size it for Instagram, yeah, and make sure it's going to be high quality, and then send it to my, yep, phone, and then upload it to Instagram with like, and then hashtag. Like, it's a whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Though it is effective, yeah, and I'm not going to stop doing it, but just like having stories, like, I'm just going to take a picture of like my dirty desk and what I'm doing, and I don't really care. And that, yeah, feels good.
Exactly.
Right?
And well, it was so needed. I think it's, I love, yeah, the flexibility and the dirtiness of it, I guess you can call it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel more like a human, because like, yeah, my actual feed is so curated that, yes, you know, like, and for the longest time, for a couple of years, I don't think I ever had a picture of myself on there. Not that that's what people want to see in general, but you know, like, nobody, like, I would go to a conference or something, nobody would know who I was. Not that I really wanted them to, because I kind of like the laying low aspect, but
yeah, man.
You know, people like, oh, I didn't know it was like a singular person behind this, but like, yes, they're like, oh, I know the feed, but I didn't know it was like a guy. Yeah. So I feel
which
like,
is dope. I mean, that's like, oh, you're a studio. Like, no, I'm just doing
it's,
everything.
It's really mysterious, well. Like, cool, dude. Cool, cool. I love it.
But I kind of felt like a little more, you know, just open to be able to like do stories and like, oh, you know, like, I'm this real, yes, human 36-year-old, yeah, boy that's going to this concert, and here's a picture of me at this concert, and like, here's this dumbass album I'm listening to on Friday, and yeah, you know, I liked being able to insert that human element to it, to where like, I feel like that took a little bit of the pressure off too, honestly.
And here's where that's, I good, think we can tie this into, like, you know, I asked myself, and Nick and I were just talking about this the other day, but like, how do you make it better? And I fucking think that, like, if you just take away the likes, or at least hide the numbers from everyone, like, the real reason, like, I like stories, because there is no one likes stuff. It's just like, they view it or not. And even if they view it, it doesn't mean anything. So like, the analytics behind it really don't matter, right? Like, and yeah, no one can see if anyone's liked it. Like, the pressure of like it doing well is non-existent.
Totally.
And so you can, yeah, just like, I want to post, you know, 30 videos of a band I'm seeing tonight that no one wants to see. Like, cool. Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's something to that. And
it,
I think,
fills
if
in
like,
the gap.
Yeah. And imagine if like Instagram as a platform, most of these platforms just took that aspect away, this like fake weird number count that means nothing, but we all like, yeah, misinterpret it as success. If that just gets taken away, I think it's way more fun.
Yeah. I completely
and like we
agree.
Talked the other day, they're talking about that.
Yeah.
Twitter's thinking of doing that, which makes a lot of sense, you know.
Twitter
yeah,
is?
I think,
yeah,
they're thinking of taking the like or heart away, because, wow, they know the difference of how much more an engaged conversation will go if you have to resort to actual conversation rather than just the simpleness of that, mm-hmm, saying yes or no, like or not. And I think that's a smart idea, and you can only imagine
that.
if they're thinking about doing it, it tells you how much they are analyzing. And I think what's cool is,
yeah,
seeing that
talking
these
about
companies
about doing it.
are really caring about the future of their platform. Obviously, look, when the demise of all these other ones have fell away, these two or three remaining have to really keep things thinking like that. Mm-hmm. And I think where we're talking now is like this perfect segue into our last few questions, which I think are more geared towards the younger designer, right? This designer who is like, the things we wanted to say to encourage them to think differently and think more positively about it. You know, what are the things that you feel, Matt, like to stop or lessen that anxiety? And stories is a perfect example, right? Like, what else do you feel is good to kind of lessen that anxiety and just have fun with this and make it work and do the good work?
Well, you know, I think social media, you know, like the name itself, you know, media part aside, but like the social aspect of it, that to me is what's fun with it. You know, I've met guys like y'all, mm-hmm, your shirt, Nick, Industry Print Shop. Can I tell like a, yeah, little story real quick?
Oh, please do.
I wear it all the time, baby.
So that shirt that you're wearing, I don't know how many years ago it was at this point, but I was thumbing through Instagram and they were live printing that shirt. And I don't think I was following them at the time. I just saw that shirt. Oh, I liked, wow, the script, and the guy that, yeah, was screen printing it, my buddy Randy, he was pulling the squeegee, and he looked just like a guy that I'd been friends with in college. And I was like, showing my wife, I'm like, man, this looks just like so and so. And she's like, oh yeah, it does. Like, who is that? I was like, I don't know, this company called Industry Print Shop. I was like, I like that shirt though. I'm gonna try to get a shirt. So I DM'd Industry, and then the owner, Tony Diaz, who is fucking awesome, one of my favorite human
love
beings.
Love Tony, he's the greatest guy, dude.
He's like, yeah, dude, what size are you? We'll send you a couple shirts. And he sent me a couple shirts. We started following each other. We ended up in Austin for a wedding, and went by the shop and started talking to him. And it was the first time we'd met. And it was right before we started Crop, and we started telling him about Crop. And he's like, oh man, like, how can we get involved in that? And then, you know, beautiful. like now, five events later, like you were there in Portland. We're business partners on Pop-Up Crop. They're sponsors and part of programming for every big crop in the spring. And like, that came from a random scroll, like a stop along the way, and like a message. And like, that's what's fun about social media.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Like, man, like I met this person.
I would have never known that. Yeah.
That's now just like a great friend and a colleague and a contemporary and a business partner. And like, we're building these cool things together all over the US from reaching out. Like, that's so much more important than getting, you know, 666 likes on your whatever on your
That's so strong. Yeah. And young designers need to hear that, because that, like, a connection like that, like, dude, I got to meet Tony and see you guys together. I thought you guys grew up from kindergarten. Like, that's what a connection I know you've made with the guy. And he's such a super dude, you know, it was like super cool. But like, what the advantages that can blossom out of that are 10 times more than 10,000 followers.
So, exactly.
Yeah. What a good perspective on that a little bit. Mind. Last episode, and I am kind of curious on your take on this, Matt, because like, I think I really like an aspect and sort of a perception rather that I've been noticing more and more. Like, feel like designers are becoming to reflect and learn more about their audience, right? Mm-hmm. And especially on social media, obviously, but like realizing like the vast majority of them are not necessarily small businesses looking for logo designs, but instead other designers that are really inspired by your work and are fans, and I think. Because of that, we're starting to witness, you know, a really awesome redirect of what designers are doing and like how they can transpire past their main craft and do other dope shit, you know, like Draplin touring the world and just best-selling author now with the kids book, you know what I mean? Like Dustin Lee's Retro Supply. So like, and you with Crop, and I think Crop's another good example of like, you know, it's a business and you built it from, I think, social media. I'm curious to know the role social media played in that and your reflection on that. Because I think we are seeing this action of designers becoming clients and sort of supporting our community within. And you know, ultimately, I think it's a good thing. I firmly believe that, like, again, authenticity is a huge factor being successful in social media. And so, like, if I'm a designer and I'm looking to buy something or go to a conference or listen to a person speak, you know, buy from another designer or support another designer. I mean, it's like a farmer's market. You know, you're, like, directly buying from the producer in a digital farmer's market.
Yeah.
So with that, you know, I'm just curious, you know, to see, have you really tapped into your audience, and was Crop sort of like a reaction of kind of discovering like, man, a lot of designers are kind of like, you know, reaching out. There's a community here that's not just, again, you know, social media isn't just small businesses offering jobs. It is more than that. And you can still get opportunity from just kind of redirecting that focus a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with us and how social media has benefited Crop was I think Crop started a little bit before the more tight-knit style of social media that we have now, as far as staying in touch with people. So, you know, Crop kind of was more analog, and now it's become digital in the past few years because social media has allowed all of our attendees to stay in touch with one another and follow each other and collaborate with each other. You know, so like, it's kind of been a great glue to keep that together. 'Cause I mean, like, how the hell else, you know, like, like, what were we going to do 10 years ago? Do newsletters all the time and hope that they were open and read and forwarded, you know? So, social media, as far as like, you know, I try not to sell too many products. I like to give my products away versus selling them, but like, crop is a product. So like with that being said, social media is very much that glue that keeps everybody together, and it creates this hub that whenever the next crop is announced, everybody's going to know it at once. And this person's going to talk to this person across the U.S. and be like, dude, they've got so-and-so. Are you coming? Like, yeah, man, I'm going. So like all that shit is great. And it's directly attributable to the social aspect of social media, which is the fun part, you know, but like that fun part can also be useful. I think a lot of times we focus too much on the media aspect of the word, and everybody has like this little controllable media in their hand, but like they forget about the other part. Like they want to advertise and they want to promote and this and that, but like that's still 50% of those two words, you know.
Yeah, the root of it is the connections and that cool factor. Like I swear, what was funny was I met probably 3 to 4 people at your crop pop-up in Portland that we each other followed, which was so funny. I'm like, what's your name? We were talking about it. I'm like, wait, you're blah blah blah. And we're like, yeah, you're this. And it was like hilarious. And then like the other day, I wore my crop long sleeve white tee, which I absolutely love. That one's bitchin'. Yeah. And someone who I met and we exchanged Instagrams, she caught it in a story that I was wearing it. She's like, I remember when you left the conference because you had to buy that white t-shirt at the gift shop.
That's awesome. That's crazy, man.
So isn't it neat? Like, it's just, you're right. I think another great way to look at it, it is that glue. And I think for a lot of us who do work, let's say in small shops or independent or solo, what else do we have really? But the connections we get to make and that one time a year where maybe we do get to meet each other, but every other time is truly through these platforms, man. And it's pretty amazing how tight you can get with people that you don't even really physically get to meet.
Yeah, it really is, man. Like, you know? some people that, you know, they'll be across the world and I can talk to them like they're one of my longest friends. It's funny how that's, you know, it's like pen pals that like we tried, like I don't know how old y'all are, but like, I remember like in elementary school be like, oh, here's the pen pal project, and that shit just never came to fruition. It was like, I'm sorry, you know, like Guillaume from Belgium hasn't written you back, you know, like, oh well. Like, but like now, you know, like, you know,
this
like,
isn't handwriting. This is crazy. This was computer generated.
Yeah. you can connect instantly. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy. I know, but it's fun too, because then when we are in the same town, it makes for an even better moment to kind of hang with each other too, because you know how rare it is too. So it's kind of like, I think these are those cool things that maybe the focus, it's hard to like, I see my students so into this, and it's social media and everything. It's like such a important thing. And maybe it means getting out of school and being in real world to understand these benefits a little bit better. That we're talking about, at least, you know?
Yeah. Sure. It's just redirecting that focus a little. Because again, it's a tool, and I think it's, you can't ignore it. And I think that people are like, it's not important, or like, I don't think that's true. I think it's just, it's sort of, redirecting your mindset of what it can be and finding opportunities that you probably didn't know existed that are way better, right? Like using it as a community and a connection. And yeah, with that, you're going to get, you know, some business offers as well. But I just think it is more than what were a lot of those young designers expected. Because I remember just not even that long ago expecting that, you know, and I had a different sort of definition of what it was going to be. And like Matt was saying, like, once I hit 1,000 followers, I'll get this many probably job offers. It didn't end up being like that for me.
Yeah.
But there, I still had a tremendous amount of opportunity through it, beyond just getting to design logos for clients. Some meaningful stuff, making friends, meeting community. I mean, Nick and I mean, we started a podcast simply because of Instagram, social media, and reaching out, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that is a nice, you know, sort of bow on top of like how do you make social media better? And I think it's a mindset.
It is
being aware as it's a tool and not, you know, sort of going too far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And getting distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Maybe the good thing. Have you guys used the new feature where it kind of on the iPhone where it kind of shows your level screen of time? How much you're using? Yeah, I have yet to use it. Have you guys?
It's pretty terrifying. Yeah, I did it once. I was like, oh, I need to fucking figure it out.
So that's a yes. It's embarrassing.
That's a yes.
It was so shameful. Oh man. Yeah. Wow. So, but it was effective. Like, I'm way more cognizant of what I'm doing on my phone.
Good.
Like, am I bored? Do I need to look at Instagram? Because I checked it 10 minutes ago.
I know.
It's probably fine. I don't need to check it now.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine right now. It's embarrassing. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which also, it's funny enough because Instagram put that on as well. Like, it's not just the Apple update. It's like Instagram put it into the app, which seems crazy because, like, they make money by you spending more time in the app. So I appreciate something like that because that is.
I think they've got to be aware that. I think they know that this only could help them in the long run when you really think about it. Because if something hits that, you know, you can fall just as fast as you rise. I think in a lot of these things. So to be a little more steady with it and considering, like you said, how many users they have, I think it's just interesting to see. I think you'll have more quality time. If you strip back a little bit too, maybe that's another good advantage is that I know sometimes when by just being busy or just being engaged in other things, when you're away from it for a while, it's actually like a little treat to go in there and be like, oh, I get to check all three and see what's going on.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
True. Sometimes that's true. Yeah. That's rare.
Nice. Yeah. I you know, with features, I just wish if they just made it high quality, it'd be perfect for me. Like everything looks bad. And for a medium that is focused on like visuals, they're all the worst compression and quality.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's the worst of all the platforms, which is insane. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I have so many gripes. We don't have to get into the specific. But,
that's our second episode.
Yeah. And links.
Exactly. Brought to you by Instagram.
Real quick, I'm curious, is LinkedIn a part of your, your repertoire, Matt?
Oh God, no. No, I'm really bad. I literally stick to Instagram. I just broke 1,000 followers on Dribbble. So, you know.
Nice.
Shout out to that.
That is not easy this day. And I got in late as well. And it's like,
oh, dude,
the problem with Dribbble is anyone who's been there since the beginning is like, oh, it's your platform.
Yeah.
Like, we're just here to, like, you know, be spectators.
Exactly. Man. I think I've been on Dribbble for like 6 years or something. And it's just one of those platforms that, like, it's a constant, like, go to. But it's not one that I engage a lot in with. So I've always been kind of like,
yeah,
Dribbble's whatever. I use it a lot. Like I love it. From that specialty standpoint. You know, that like
it's good for like inspiration and totally. Also just kind of seeing what like the industry is doing outside of like a lot of just Instagram designers, which
exactly.
Again, or just young designers rather.
Yeah.
I think there is a sort of like a little bit higher standard.
I like to see what people are doing. I like to see what people are doing in other capabilities, things that are out of my scope, like seeing a lot of UI UX or seeing animation, seeing like the heavy illustration. Like that to me is like really, and then there's a lot more than just a one post. You can do the multiple, you can add in some multimedia and get a link to something, which is great too. So that part I like, that's kind of what I love. But I asked you about LinkedIn only because of just, I almost feel like it's there's a barrier. There's all the beauty of Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest and Dribbble, but this over the other side of the wall is this LinkedIn world that, you know, we're not, I don't even feel like we have an invitation to be there yet. Like, you know what I mean? As designers.
Yeah.
Totally.
It is this whole other world. It's this whole other level of why you would be there. But I was just curious to know because we're doing a little test with Jordan. And
I also was like, I've never thought to be on it. And like I made one years ago and then didn't do anything with it. I'm curious cause I, and Nick is one of these guys, but like I've talked to a lot of people that have found like really big clients or like really successful projects through LinkedIn. Sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, man, it usually takes me like a lot of effort and a lot of like wading through smaller stuff to even find something probably half of what these guys are doing. And so the idea is, and right now we recorded it first, and it'll be later on in this course, but we went through and like Nick is really, really good at LinkedIn. And then he brought in a professional's like sort of tips and tricks. And so we did all these things that to my account that they say you should do. And we're going to give it a month and then we're going to see results of like, you dude, know, how I've grown from where I started.
He's already kicking
what kind
ass,
of jobs
dude.
Are getting.
He's kicking ass.
It's been great. It's insane.
And that, you son of a bitch, you put your photography on there. Damn it.
Which is also nice because like Instagram hates, I mean, at least the followers, like most of our designers. So like my photography usually does the worst.
Yeah. Your photography is so good though, dude. I remember whenever you were,
that's why it's not
just kind of, getting, I remember when you were just kind of getting into it and like you did like some brewery that you did. And like you were showing the process of like, dude, that stuff, I loved that, man. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like I probably get the most engagements because most designers have questions of like, what are you using? Like, how do you set up a shot? Because I think all designers should get into photography. I think it's like, terms of something that you can either off. Yeah. I mean, it's good for you. You can take your own product shots. Like, it's just solid. Yeah. So they do usually get the most engagements of questions, but they usually don't do as well in terms of just like outreach. Like I can see, you know, but that's partly because like, again, most of my followers are designers that started following me because of the design work, not the photography work.
I can see it being really beneficial on LinkedIn. I'm a bad adult. And like that,
I
met with my accountant this morning. So like that's the second time I've had to say that I'm not a good adult today.
You get a lollipop after.
But you know, good like, job, like LinkedIn has been LinkedIn has always been one of those really kind of like nebulous areas for me where it's like,
yes,
I don't feel like I belong here. This feels really professional. And
it seems corporate, like do I need a tie to log in? Like this is very,
It does, but like it seems really beneficial, especially in you know, like you're teaching, Nick. I'm sure that's probably landed a lot of your kids' jobs, you know, from like because that's where the hiring people are, you know, like they're not trolling Instagram for coffee packaging, like they're on LinkedIn looking for who's going to bring these skills to my company. So like there's total value in it. Yeah.
And you nailed it by saying I don't feel like a lot of us think we belong there. But what we're finding out is that not only do we belong there, but it's like it's an oasis to hit because I don't feel like you could be part of the first bandwagon of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Over the early dribblers that made it work so well.
You know what I mean? And I'm getting afraid to talk about it even more because I've been loving it over there. And it's like, now everyone's moving over. I'm like, no, stay back. Because dude, it's very lucrative. It's very lucrative.
It seems untapped.
That's awesome.
Plus you get the connection you make, you see their title. You see the title is the right under there, where they're at and where they're working. And these are people that are decision makers more than anything. So again, I can't wait to see what happens. And I've already seen quite a good little engagement with yours, Jordan, you're spinning and testing the waters with it. So again, it's another good conversation to, you know, to have.
Yeah. I think we're curious to see if it's that unsung hero of the platforms because it is a platform.
I love that experiment. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe it won't work, but I think so far it's been doing pretty well. So listeners, you'll hear it in the next couple episodes.
how's everybody doing on Vero? Yeah, y'all still doing okay on Vero?
I was trying to remember it.
Dude, oh my God. I was like, I don't know what that is. I'll laugh. I forgot that I signed up for that because they're like, you only get it free if you sign up now. And I was like, I need to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Then I never logged in again.
I just deleted it. When I updated iOS 12, I was like, what the? Why do I still have Vero on my phone?
You still have it.
And I just deleted it like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
If one good thing came out of it, me and Matt were texting back and forth going, how's it going for you? He's like, I don't know. I'm going to post something right now.
Nick like finally got through and the next day he texts me. He's like, dude, have you gotten like 12 like spam phone calls? And I was like, yes, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, dude. They got
it died before it even started.
It was a dumpster fire, man. It was, yeah.
But it's crazy that everyone jumped on that. Like, my feed was flooded. Every designer I knew was doing it, and like, this is where I'm going to be from now on. Like, okay, what is it? And then a week later,
it proves everything we're talking about here. You know,
and not to put all your eggs in the social media basket, because they can go under.
Yeah,
you know,
totally,
exactly. I never got it too. It was so glitchy. It was so glitchy. Like, and yet we still tried. As I remember, you post something, and it was like 3 days later, and it wasn't showing up yet. And you were like, "Damn it, the world has to see this post." You know?
You're Talk about a deficit and a hit in your ego from going from like Instagram to like Vero, and like you post something and it just has fucking zero engagement and you're just like,
I suck. that is a good point. That's partly why, like, I think just the thought of even LinkedIn and why I wasn't hitting it early on. It's like, it's just exhausting to think of like another platform.
It is.
I know.
Deal with even Dribbble. Like, I've backed way off Dribbble because it's just like, again, it's so exhausting. There's so much work involved. You can't, especially on Dribbble nowadays, you can't just post a picture. It's like, it's got to be polished.
It does.
It's got to be Dribblified.
Yeah.
It's no longer that work in progress.
What it started was like a screenshot, a capture of like where I'm at. You can't see it. This is just a little piece.
That's right.
It's so different now. It's finished, polished product. And all design.
And we haven't even touched on Behance.
I don't even use Behance. And that's when, like, you know, people say to get jobs, but I would rather, I don't know, I'd rather focus like those case study things to a website. Again, now it, like, once you get a little bit further along and you are working more, it's like, I'm pretty picky and choosy where I'm going to put effort into. And so far it's been like, I've been backing away from most social media platforms. But when you're starting out, like I would say run the gauntlet and see which ones are working for you.
Yeah,
but y'all should hit Behance.
That's a good tip. Yeah.
Y'all should do a follow up. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but y'all should do a follow up with the forefathers, Jonathan Jackson, Amir, and Matt Hay. They've got this workshop that they do called Putting the U in URL, and it's about taking the focus off of social media and how like things are cyclical. And whenever they redid their website, it got them more traction than, you know, social media ever had. I think that could be a really cool.
It's the best one out there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool. I love their website. It's one of my favorites.
It's so good. Like y'all should connect with them and do kind of like,
That's a really good
idea. That's a great idea.
Their whole PDF about no revisions.
Yeah. The declaration, as it were. Yeah, like that declaration.
That was like, oh my God, that inspired me to really figure out my process early on.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are, one, so eloquent in talking about why they don't do revisions, and two, just like the balls to not do it at all is dope.
Yeah,
man, those guys have got a lot of stuff figured out.
Yeah.
And their work is amazing. Like, not only do they have that side of things, like, their work is so dope.
They do have some killer work.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Awesome, man. Well, this has been great, dude.
This is exactly what
I think we were hoping to get out of this one. I hope you enjoyed it too, man. Where can people find you? Throw out some of your details so everyone knows.
So as far as all things crop, you can keep up with us on Instagram at cropcons, CROPCONS. You can keep up with me personally at Stay Gray Pony Boy. You can keep up with our new little boutique agency at The Ash Collective. And that's about all social medias. You notice I didn't say a single website.
I know. So sad. Because you know ironic. Everything can be found there.
How ironic.
Well, this was a total pleasure, gentlemen.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, man. Like, this was a great, great Friday afternoon to spend with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, a little beer and some
likewise,
buds.
Likewise, man.
Not bad.
Likewise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next time, we'll do it in person.
Yeah, for sure. April.
April. Hell yeah.
There we go. It's all on the calendars. All right, guys. Thanks.
Bye, y'all.